Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now in the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're the man, and really appreciated your column. Really enjoyed reading it. The idea that, first of all, kudos to Cole Kmet for being a total pro. That is totally cool. But the idea that they're developing an identity on offense, I thought we had understood kind of what that offense was going to be. But I was bereft of an idea when I thought about what their identity is. What is it that they can do best, will do best? How do you say, well, this is the play?
Yeah, that's what they got to figure out. You know, you got to find a couple personnel groupings that you like, and you got to get some core stuff in there that you feel like you will have success with week in and week out, and you got to be able to do it. You got to be able to do it with success, and then you sort of build out from there, and it was disjointed. We could talk about it from now until kickoff Sunday night about just how out of rhythm it looked, and you had really no idea what they wanted to do in terms of having an identity. And maybe Shane Waldron says today, well, that they only had 56 plays and it was difficult. Well, part of that was because nothing they were doing was working real well. They had third and short, and they're throwing deep multiple times, which hey, I'm all for the occasional deep shot on third and two, third and three, right? You know, throw something at the defense that it might not be expecting. See if you can get a cornerback trying to sit on some type of short route and see if you can take the top off the defense. But they tried it multiple times. It didn't work. They, I think they had 47 rushing yards going into the fourth quarter. So they've got to find a way to be better at everything Sunday night against the Texans, because this sets up as the kind of game where I look at it and I say the Bears better be prepared to score, 24 points with their offense against this Houston team. I think that would probably be a pretty good number to aim for. To stay in it against Houston.
Thought it was interesting, Brad, on Wednesday, hearing from the Texans, and Kalen Bullock, the former teammate in college of Caleb Williams, was asked about defending him, and he talked about needing to keep him in the pocket because when he gets outside of the pocket, he gets dangerous. And I think that's becoming what you hear more from guys, whether it's coaches, analysts, or now players, talking about Caleb Williams keeping him in the pocket in terms of identity. If you're Shane Waldron, don't you want to create an identity where you have a moving pocket, where you have misdirection like we saw in the preseason? Where was that on Sunday, and how much of an emphasis will that be against the Texans?
Yeah, I think it'll be an emphasis, and I think they were working to get to some of that. You know, you see some of that, some of the runs, the outside zone that weren't particularly successful, but that stuff is closely mirrored to some of their passing game things, and they just weren't able to stay on the field and maybe get to some of that. But yeah, you want to get him out on the move a little bit. Those are quarterback friendly plays when you cut the field in half, give him a high low read, things of that nature. So I think the positives are there was probably five or six plays where you could go back and look at it and say, but this one guy did this thing better. This is a really good play for him. In terms of maybe one person picking up a blitz, or Caleb hitting a throw, or Keenan not dropping that touchdown pass. And so you clean that up, and you're probably feeling significantly different about Shane Waldron and the offense and the debut. But the reality is we could have that exercise for the other 31 teams in the National Football League every week, right? Win or lose, you could go, hey, well, look at these six plays. They were close, right? The Bears got their doors blown off them in Kansas City last year. What was that, 41-10? They're at five or six plays where Justin had a guy running wide open down the field. Maybe that's a shootout ball game if he hits those. He didn't. So you don't want to get into that on a regular basis of, well, look at these. They were close on these plays because, again, you can do that for every team.
What about the idea that when you really broke down what you looked at, Denard Wilson ran a hell of a scheme against Justin Fields and helped confuse him and pressure him, and that Fields will have seen some of these concepts before, and you know, he obviously played well against a team like Buffalo, which has similar concepts to some of the ones he faced all the time in preparation. Do you take that stuff and embrace it, buy it? Can you say that?
No, I just think experience. I think experience in general is going to be what he needs. That's what all young quarterbacks need. Caleb just needs, you know, more time on task. The Texans present a little bit differently on defense.
Right.
You know, I look at that Tennessee roster, and the strength was obviously right there in the middle on that defensive line. And the Texans have got some talent on the edge. I think Tennessee had guys you look at and you're like, well, kind of maybe a rotational guy, that type of thing. Harold Landry's had maybe one big productive season in the National Football League. So Houston's got a little more juice, I think, on the edge. So they're going to be a little bit different. But I think it's just for Caleb Williams, it's getting more experience, more opportunities, seeing more stuff, seeing the late rotation, understanding the coverages. One guy said it to me really well, I thought, at the end of preseason when we were talking about a couple different things. He said, for these quarterbacks, these young guys that play in preseason, he says, these preseason games are like a college all-star game where it's just kind of static cover two, cover three. You know, it's just really basic, and nobody's going to be basic in the regular season.
So, Brad, the injury report, obviously, Roma Dunze, as Flusi said, day-to-day, which might be optimistic. Keenan Allen, missing time. I think you understand the heel injury, but it certainly prevents him from developing chemistry with Caleb Williams, which I think they need. Interesting addition to the mix, potentially. David Wallace was given a tryout as a kickoff returner. You wonder what that means in terms of Velus Jones with the Bears needing wide receivers this week. How do you look at the wide receiver depth chart, and what surprises should we expect?
I don't know that we should be in for any surprises. I think Tyler Scott is clearly next man up, right? If Rome's unavailable because of the knee, Tyler Scott moves up, and if Keenan can't go, then you're potentially looking at a practice squad elevation, I think, for this game. Or they get the DeAndre Carter a little bit more involved. DeAndre Carter had 11 snaps in the opener against Tennessee, so he's got some experience. They could, in a pinch, you could plug Velus in a little bit with things that they want to do offensively at wide receiver. Hopefully, some rest for Keenan Allen will be a good thing, and you don't want to rule Odunze out, but they also want to be careful with him. It's week two. The heel thing is, I'd say it's probably more concerning when you look kind of down the road than the knee injury for Rome, if the information we've all gotten on Rome is accurate, because you just probably have concern that the heel thing could be a lingering issue for Keenan Allen, potentially, right?
Potentially.
DeMarcus Walker also didn't take part in practice. What's his deal?
Yeah, and he had a good game.
Yeah.
He had a good game. Four pressures. He was just a part of the, you know, that pass rush that
he was the pressure on the interception. Yeah.
Yeah, and Montez Sweat kind of keys a lot of it. Like, if you go back and really look at some of these plays, it's the presence of Sweat is creating a lot of this. But what's crazy is they got 10 quarterback hits in that game. Last season, the Bears defense didn't get its 10th quarterback hit until the middle of the fourth game. So it's a different-looking front than they started the 2023 season with. We all know it's different, but like that jumped out at me. They got the 10 quarterback hits, and I'm like, boy, that's a pretty good number. When's the last time they did that? And then I said, shoot, well, how long did it take them to get to 10 a year ago? And it was the middle of the fourth game.
Wow.
Brad, big picture, inevitably NBC will compare C.J. Stroud did for the Texans what Caleb Williams wants to do for the Bears.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud versus Caleb Williams. If you had to pick one guy for the next 3 years, who would it be?
Well, I think ultimately, Dave, you want to talk, if you're talking about picking one guy, to me, it's a 10, 12-year pick, right? And it's a fair conversation. The Bears could have had C.J. Stroud, and he was fantastic last year. Caleb's going to have a dynamite rookie season to be at that level at the end of the year that C.J. Stroud was at. So, boy, that's a really tough – I mean, it's just our sample size here with Caleb is almost non-existent, right? And
it's speculation.
But I think when you ask that question, instead of it being a 3 year, it's like, whose career do you want more? Because when you get the quarterback and you get the quarterback right, you're talking about having him for a career, right? You know, I mean, you're judging Patrick Mahomes and what he's going to do in Kansas City against what Joe Burrow's got going in Cincinnati and Josh Allen in Buffalo and things like that. It's rare that you see one of these elite guys, unless they're really experienced and kind of older, like Aaron Rodgers, switch teams. Like, you don't see a Matthew Stafford go from one club to the other. He played pretty darn well in that loss to Detroit on Sunday night, the Rams Lions game.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about it a little bit earlier, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, just this wild sort of connection between Houston and the Bears. Lovey winning that game, that gave the Bears the number one pick. That allowed them to make the trade with Carolina. Carolina obviously makes the wrong call at quarterback. You wonder, and the Bears make the trade, and they get all this stuff, and they end up getting Caleb Williams as a result. But I wonder, Brad, if they had stayed in that spot, if they hadn't made the trade, would they have taken Bryce Young? Would they have concluded that Stroud was better? And could they have taken CJ if they had Justin Fields here at the time?
I think, yeah. Boy, if they stayed there, I think they had to pick a quarterback. I really do. And I thought it was a legitimate conversation for him at the time. Do you bring back Fields for another year, or do you use this pick on a quarterback? And I don't believe they would have taken Bryce Young with the pick because of concerns about the height and the size.
Right.
I think they would have gone a different direction. Does that mean they would have gone to Stroud? I don't know. I have no idea there.
Anthony Richardson was the other option, I suppose.
Yeah. And, you want to talk about a bundle of talent that he's got to be able to put it together. But, boy, he's got all
problem.
Kinds of skills.
Yeah, that'll be next week.
That's next week's conversation.
Right. But, so,
I'm just curious, what would have happened, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't believe it would have been Young, because I had some conversations with different people in the organization before the trade was made. And my question was, if this ransom's out there or going to be out there, for a team that wants to come get the pick, who are they coming to draft? Like, who's the clear guy? And, you know, one response is, well, it can't be Bryce Young because of the size, right? And so I don't believe it would have been him. Would have been interesting if they, because there will always be offers for that pick, but if they weren't bowled over by an offer, right? If they were like, well, this isn't really market price for this pick, maybe we keep it. I don't know. I don't know what they would have done. Hopefully, what they did do, their hope here is that they put themselves in a really good position with Caleb, and obviously the Texans have a really bright future, I think, with C.J. Stroud. DeMeco Ryans did an unbelievable job with them last year, because that wasn't a great roster that he ended up guiding to the playoffs. And then look at what they did. They traded a 7th-round pick for Joe Mixon, who you looked at in Cincinnati and you said, not a lot of tread left on the tires here, right? That's how it looked. And because the Texans couldn't run the ball at all last year.
Yeah.
Got absolutely blown out in the playoffs by Baltimore because they couldn't run the ball at all. So now you've got a rookie quarterback dropping back every snap with Pro Bowl players all over the place on defense for the Ravens. They go out and get Joe Mixon, just pounded the ball on Sunday at Indianapolis. Road game, 30 carries for a 159. Just really physical. So now they've got an element that was completely missing a year ago when you talk about being able to take some pressure off Stroud, put your quarterback in a position where you're not having to drop back and sling it 30, 35, 40 times a ball game.
Brad, in the final minute here, when you look at the Bears' pass rush with Daryl Taylor, I wonder how they will manage his snaps. Will it be any different? Do you get less out of him the more you use him, or do you want to use him less and get less out of your pass rush? What is the right balance there to strike?
Well, I think you want to keep Daryl Taylor on the field in pass rushing situations. I think when you get your sub package out there, you're going to hope to have him out there the majority of the time. The book on him coming out of Seattle was that he wasn't great defending the run, and that's fine. They didn't trade for him to stop the run. So you pick your situations on passing downs, and you have Daryl Taylor on the field. And does that mean he's on the field in every nickel situation? No, I don't think that's reasonable either. But if he's on the field for 80-85% of your nickel and other various sub packages, I think you're probably where you want to be, and he should be hopefully effective, because Eberflus talked about it yesterday, the get off the speed, that was very evident in his debut. And trade for Matthew Judon and be in that contract situation, or get a much cheaper Daryl Taylor. Now, Matthew Judon's a much more accomplished football player.
Right.
He's got a lot more, pelts on the wall, or however you want to say it, than Daryl Taylor. But if Daryl Taylor can put together something around a 10-sack season, I think the Bears are going to feel pretty good about the choice they ended up making.
I think he's on track for 34.
34, Brad. I don't know why. Why are you aiming low? It's big. 34. Break the record. Well, thanks, Big Z.
Who was it? The Bears guy that said he was his goal for sacks in one season was high double digits.
That was Alonzo Spellman.
Yeah.
Double digits. 97. Yeah, exactly.
I was going to say like 85 yeah, or
exactly.
so. Obviously, you meant high teens.
Yes.
But it came out high.
High double digits.
High double digits. Yeah,
it's awesome. All right, Big Z, you're
thanks,
the best.
Brad.
See you, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
That's funny.
He did say that.
High double digits.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's being so dramatic.
Oh, there's so many.
There's so many of those things.
You're so right.
Yeah.
The greatest. Yeah.